Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. It's now 7:09 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life. The terrorist attacks in Paris, France, which ostensibly occurred as a reaction to some unflattering cartoons published in a magazine publication in Paris. This has touched off a very interesting dialogue around the world, quite literally, about mocking or ridiculing an individual's religious beliefs. There are those, as I pointed out earlier, who say, well, you know, freedom of speech is just that. One should be free to speak and articulate things as they see fit. Others are saying, well, maybe not so much. How do we wrap our minds around this one from a biblical, Christian, theologically informed sort of vantage point? Dr. Richard Land is president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's written about this. He joins us once again on our guest line. Dr. Land, Happy New Year, I guess we should say. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Where do you start on this one? The terrorist attacks in Paris, France from just roughly 2 weeks ago, a little less than 2 weeks ago, and all of the free speech dialogue surrounding this Charlie Hebdo publication in that city. What's the starting point from your perspective?
Well, I think some of the French newspapers had it right when they put banner headlines the next day, "Freedom assassinated?" question mark. And this is a direct assault, one of the most basic bedrock freedoms that is necessary for Western civilization to continue. And that is freedom of expression, freedom of conscience, and freedom of speech. What they are saying is, if you criticize our religion, if you say something we don't like and offends us, we're going to kill you. And that has a chilling effect if we allow it to take place, if we allow it to intimidate us. My solution was that I thought that every electronic and print news outlet in America should have published the offending cartoons the next day at the same time and say to these people the same thing that we said to the British in the 18th century, don't tread on me.
That, of course, did not happen, at least not to the extent that you were calling on it to happen. What do you say to those, and I'm sure you've already, your inbox is filled up with email messages like this, Dr. Land, and probably heard this one-on-one from some of your associates as well, but what do you say to the person who hears your suggestion and says, well, come on, Land, you're just trying to be antagonistic, you're just trying to make matters worse? How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond by saying that, first of all, I don't think you should mock or caricature or criticize people's religion. I think, you know, criticism of people's religion, analysis and fair arguments about people's religion is one thing. But to mock and caricature people's religion or people's family is beyond the pale, as far as I'm concerned. It's offensive. It's not something you should do. I've certainly been offended when I've seen portrayals of crucifix submerged in urine and the mother of Jesus having elephant dung thrown on a portrait of her and other mockings of Christianity. And the golden rule says, do unto others as they would have them do unto you. And if I want people to respect my faith, I should respect theirs. But having said that, when people do this and they get killed for doing so, then the issue has changed from whether one should mock or caricature other people's religion to, are we going to allow a death cult that has taken root within Islam to suppress and to bully us into not using and not expressing and not having our God-given right to freedom of conscience, freedom of expression, and freedom of speech? one of the things that you're that's going to happen in a free country is you're going to be offended.
That seems part and parcel to liberty and freedom and the recognition of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, for that matter. There inevitably will be things that I find offensive, and I need to stand for an individual's liberty and freedom nonetheless. Dr. Richard Land, he is the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's on our guest line here at Faith Radio. Clearly, the response from the Western world, I would say most all of the world, to this Charlie Hebdo mass murder incident has not been what you were hoping for. Is there a sense in which you would say, Dr. Land, that the Western world is already beginning to retreat, step away from this long-held value, if you will, of freedom of expression? Are we kind of saying, well, all right, we stand for the right to free speech, but not that much. We want peace here. We'll rein it in so nobody gets their head chopped off.
Well, what I'm seeing is the same kind of symptom of moral relativism, the results of moral relativism that we saw during the Cold War. Some of us are old enough to remember people who went around chanting, better red than dead, better to surrender to communism than die. And, you know, the editor of Charlie Hebdo, when he was threatened earlier, said, I'd rather live on my feet than die on my knees. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian writer, at the time criticized the better red than dead group. And he said, that's a terrible slogan. And it shows a moral rot within the West, because historically, Western civilization has said, better dead than many things, better dead than a slave, better dead than a scoundrel, better dead than a traitor. When you're a moral relativist, then existence becomes the ultimate goal, continued physical existence, life. Maybe a diminished form of life, but life becomes the ultimate value. For those of us who are following a Judeo-Christian belief system, continued existence is not the ultimate value. The ultimate value is following truth as defined in Holy Scripture and rendering unto God the things that are God's. And ultimate loyalty, ultimate value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
not in
very
our
interesting.
Own personal continued existence.
Sure. Now, let's pick up on that in just a moment. Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, on our guest line here on Faith Radio. Believe it or not, Southern Evangelical Seminary actually has a center of Islamic studies. What's up with that? What's going on at Southern Evangelical Seminary? We'll find out more about this from Dr. Richard Land in just a moment. It's 7:16 Central Time. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, on our guest line here at Faith Radio. And Dr. Land, picking up on what you were describing earlier about the necessity for Western civilization, the necessity of freedom, and yet the notion that for the Christian, life itself, our physical lives are not the ultimate priority here. I think maybe what you're getting at is, summed up very effectively in the state motto of New Hampshire, which may sound kind of weird, but the state motto of New Hampshire is simply live free or die. Now, given the current cultural makeup of New Hampshire, sometimes they seem to have strayed far from that motto. Yeah, I think you would probably agree with that. But my father's family traces back to New Hampshire, and so I kind of grew up with that live free or die motto in my mind. But what do you say to the evangelical Christian living here in the U.S. today who says, hey, you know, I just want to get along with the Muslims. I want to lead them to faith in Christ. And all this freedom stuff seems abstract, all this discussion about liberty and whatnot. Let's just, you know, make sure we don't do anything to offend them and move on. What do you say to the person who kind of wants to skirt that whole issue?
Well, I say that that's not a slippery slope. That's an elevator shaft to the loss of your freedom. And if you want to witness to Muslims, if you allow these people to intimidate you what comes shortly after that is what they're trying to put through the UN, which is respect for religion laws that would say that it becomes illegal to criticize Islam. In Canada, there have been people arrested and have been convicted for making critical statements about Islam on the subway mm-hmm. or on the bus. That's where this goes if we don't stop it now. Your freedom to witness, your freedom to point out the errors in Islam, your freedom to point out where Islam is wrong in relation to Christianity will be considered hate speech quicker than you can blink an eye. This is not a slippery slope. It's an elevator. It's an empty elevator shaft.
Very interesting. To that end, at Southern Evangelical Seminary, my understanding is that there is an effort underway to begin an Institute of Islamic Studies. What's going on with that?
Well, we have an Institute of Islamic Studies, and we have a certificate in Islamic Studies. We consider this to be part of our twin goal and our founding. We were founded by Dr. Norm Geisler and Dr. Ross Rhodes 22 years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the twin goals of global evangelization and apologetics. We want to prepare Christians to win the argument with skeptics and with people of other faiths, but we don't just want to win the argument. We want to win the person to faith in Jesus Christ. So winning the argument is part of a process. It's a process in search of a goal, and the goal is to win the person to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So what we do at the Institute of Islamic Studies is we talk about what Islam believes, what mm-hmm. the various branches of Islam believe. And it should be pointed out that Islam is another religion. It is a different religion. It is a religion that we believe is not a true religion. Only Christianity is a true religion. But let's do understand that most of the people, 90% of the people that have been killed by these radical Islamic jihadists so far have been other Muslims who have refused to knuckle under to this death cult that has taken root within Islam, and it's claimed to be the only legitimate expression of the Islamic faith. And we try to point that out as well.
Dr. Lind, for the pastor that may be listening to our conversation, and he or perhaps she is saying, you know, I want to do right by these issues with my congregants, with the members of my church, or even for the layperson who serves in some sort of lay ministry capacity in the church. And they're saying, my goodness, there's so much going on here. Dr. Lance hitting on all these big weighty topics, freedom of speech, prominence of Islam in the world, Christian-Islamic relations. What's a starting point for that individual who's saying, I don't understand enough here, and I want to get tutored up, I want to learn, I want to understand the world that I live in effectively? What's a good starting point?
Well, I would say that he or she could certainly go to our website, SES.edu, and find materials that would be helpful. Find some courses in our lay institute that would be helpful. We want to try to educate people, but you know it's something pastors do need to equip themselves to help the people understand. I was doing a forum after I'd preached on Sunday. Did a forum on Sunday night, a Q&A at a church in Orlando. And one of the first questions from the congregation was, you know, what about this movement of radical Islam in the United States? How should Christians respond to it, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And I talked about the freedom of speech issue, and I talked about the fact that I said, look, my position on this is I believe in freedom of religion. I believe that Muslims have the right to worship in this country. They have the right to have mosques, not at ground zero. That's just bad manners. Mm-hmm. But they have the right to have mosques, you know, in their neighborhoods, and they have the right to worship. They have the right to even advocate. If they believe this is what should be the right way to go, they have the right to advocate for Sharia law in the United States. What they don't have the right to do is to begin to use non-democratic, forceful, and coercive means to undermine the government of the United States, to undermine our rights through violent action, or to seek to subvert the government of the United States other than through a democratic process. When they do that, then they're guilty of insurrection and treason, and they should be arrested and prosecuted. Now, if they want to have a debate with the American people about whether we ought to have Sharia law in this country, I'm ready to have that debate on any television or radio station in the country. Because in order for us to have Sharia law anywhere, I don't care if it's a township with 100% Muslim population, they don't have the right to have Sharia law and to overthrow the law of the United States of America unless we, first of all, rescind at least three of the amendments to our Constitution. The First Amendment, which says there'll be no government establishment of religion. The amendment, which says there'll be no cruel or unusual punishment, because most Americans think that cutting off people's hands for theft or stoning them for adultery is cruel and unusual. And perhaps, as importantly, the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the law, because Sharia, by definition, does not give equal treatment under the law to women or to non-Muslims.
Sure, sure. Lots to think about. Let's continue that conversation next time. Dr. Richard Landes with the Southern Evangelical Seminary. Find him at ses.edu. We'll have that info on our website as well at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Land, thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to talking again soon. Let's pick up where we've left off today.
Well, thank you, brother. I think one of the bulwarks of freedom and freedom of worship and freedom of speech in this country is Christian radio.
I'm with you on that. Thanks for being here. We'll look forward to having you back very, very soon. 7:26, it's now Faith Radio that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.